Hey everybody, I'm Ken Peach Van Druten, and that is...
This is Chris Raybould.
Chris Raybould. That's Chris right there.
It's me.
In an undisclosed location. Look at our backgrounds. We are in nowhere near where we normally do this, which is exciting.
Which is good. This is where we're supposed to be.
That's right.
Yeah.
Doing at least prepping for gigs, right?
Right.
We're not doing gigs. We're not doing gigs, but we're...
Nope.
Yeah, we're prepping them. So, okay. Well, that's all right. So I thought maybe this time around we could talk about what's been going on and the process of that. And, you know, I think on the last one we spoke about what living in COVID world is like for us. But now we're kind of out and about, and since I've seen you last, I've gotten the old COVID. The Omicron got me.
That's right. You got the vid.
I got tackled. But, you know, I mean, luckily, you know, whatever. I don't want to get into politics, but I am triple vaxxed, and it didn't hit me all that hard, to be honest. It was a couple of days of, you know, feeling pretty bad. And then a week of like, you know, hey, I don't feel very good. I mean, compared to what's happening to some people that are getting it, I was very lucky, I guess.
Right. So,
yeah. Okay. We've done that. So tell me, what are you up
to? So I'm in a production office, but I've jammed my console. You see the console, you can see the rack behind me and some of my other kind of shit hanging out here. On the other side of me over there, if I were to move everything around, is a giant rehearsal room. So
sweet.
This is where we hang. This is where we do our thing. These rooms notoriously sound horrible. But it is what it is. It allows us some isolation, you know? So that's where I am currently. Where are you?
I've
seen you there before.
Yes, actually, you've probably seen this background before. I am at the Tater Audio World Headquarters and Roadie Safe House. I've probably said this before. I can't remember, you know, some video before, but my great friend and partner on the other end of the snake, Kevin Tater McCarthy, allows me to store my gear here. And this is where we come to prep whenever the gear is going out. It's an awesome facility. It's a small little shop, but there's an apartment upstairs. So I get to stay here in the freezing tundra of Detroit, Michigan right now.
Yeah, I saw your post. It's zero there, huh?
Yeah, it's zero. And it's like literally tomorrow, I think the high is like 14.
Incredible.
But even with the sun out, you know, totally clear sun out, it's 14. Tater tells me that that's like a normal January here in Michigan. So,
yeah.
Which is then the question that I follow that up with is, why do you live here?
Yeah, why are you still here? You have the means. Go. By all means.
Leave. But I get it. I mean, you know, it is the summers here are awesome. And, you know, it's beautiful where his house is, and outside of Detroit, it's very, very nice. Yeah. So I am prepping gear for Iron Maiden. And why am I doing that in January when we're not doing anything until May?
Mm-hmm. You can?
No, is because all of this goes into a sea container and
right
travels around the world three times, I guess, because that's how long it's gonna take to get to England, apparently. They approached us and said, hey, we need to tie up your gear for a couple of months, you know. So I'm back here, and we were just talking about what's hilarious about what's happening right now is that I have updated all of these computers. So Mac Minis, I have, you know, Wave server, all this stuff. I've updated three separate occasions and not done a show.
Oh, you mean since this whole debacle began?
Yes.
Amazing.
So I've been here. I came here in like 2019 because we thought we had a 2020. I came here in 2020 because I thought we had a 2021. Came here now for the 2022.
Incredible, man.
And big, huge updates between then and now. You know what I mean? Between Super Rack and also a giant Digico SD7 upgrade. Mm-hmm. And obviously Super Rack is, you know, so firmware updates, software updates, you know, version 13 plugins, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. And I haven't done a show on it. I think in 2019, we were like, oh, version 11, you know? Right. So anyway, I think it's just funny that I've had to come here and spend days updating three different times for a show that we haven't done yet.
To not do a show.
Yeah.
Now that being said, are you like days of busy work? That's what that sounds like to me.
Pretty much. So here's where I'm at, just to give you a little more in depth to it, you know, so all of my Mac minis, I have been kind of limping along in High Sierra OS, which is a long time ago. It's 10.13.6 or something. And we're into 11 now with Big Sur. And part of the reason I was doing that is because my Mac minis are a little bit older. They're 2012, you know, Mac minis. And you get to a point where it's like, well, it's all working. Why should I upgrade if it's not working? But now I'm at a point where every audio company, Waves, I use a machine trigger thing, Pro Tools, et cetera, like no longer support High Sierra. Mm-hmm. So
I have to update.
Mm-hmm. And what sucks about it is I have to update to Catalina, which is the highest OS that the 2012 Mac minis can do. So I'm right at the edge of my Mac minis being obsolete. Mm-hmm. But if I update them to Catalina, then they're all within the parameters of all of those audio manufacturers. And I can get another probably 2 or 3 years of them being within the parameters of their software updates.
Got it.
But after this, I'm done. I'm going to have to update my hardware in order to remain current. And the reason is that, I mean, you say, well, all of it's working in High Sierra. Why should I upgrade? And the reason is that if I do have any software related issue or even a hardware related issue, I now can contact a manufacturer and be included in their service.
Right. You can actively receive support.
Correct. Actively receive support. Whereas I can't right now with High Sierra. Like, you know, I call Waves and tell them I'm running the High Sierra and they go, yeah, no.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. We can't help you. Five Mac minis all have to be upgraded to Catalina, which is whatever that is, 2-hour, 3-hour process per computer.
Yeah, it's a serious undertaking.
Yeah. And then all of the applications that I'm running all then need to be updated to work under Catalina. So that's just a little window into what's going to happen to me for the next week. It's basically sitting in front of screens and like trying to make sure that stuff works and updating and
everything's talking to one another.
Everything's talking to one another.
Yeah. With this being, your first day there.
Yes.
When we tentatively planned to do this as of last minute, last night.
Yeah.
I did not expect you to make this. I fully expected you to be like, leave me the fuck alone. I'm drowning.
It's been a long day. And so I'm kind of like, But I'm in the middle of it. So there's not a better time to talk about it. You know, it's what's happening right now.
I figured it would also probably be a good break too, you know?
Indeed it is. But tell me what you're up to, because I kind of caught, we were talking offline and I kind of caught you were doing some new stuff, right? Like for instance, what is that console right behind you there? What's happening with that?
There's a lot different going on right now.
So tell me your thought process and why you're doing it.
I will. Absolutely. So that right there is an SSL 550, which I have used before. I decided to go to the SSL platform for this for a couple reasons, but if I'm being honest with you, I was very, as much as I'm a proponent of like, have your system, have your ways, et cetera, et cetera. I felt very sort of stuck creatively lately.
Yeah.
So there's an element of kind of both challenge, desire to improve. I was at a great place with the Digico as the whatever Starship controller of it all. And you know, and I've been very vocal about, I've used this console before, and I'll tell you right now, my experience is the exact same it was in the past. I'm painfully slow on it, but I am wowed by the sonic results. And
totally get it.
You know, and I knew that that's what this was, and I'm finding the exact same thing now, to where I'm like, holy shit, this thing sounds so good. And I mean, just the desk, before we get into any of this other stuff.
Totally.
The desk sounds amazing. Workflow wise, it's going to take me a while. And even with the while that it's going to take me, you know, what you're sitting behind right there, I know for you and I is the ultimate in like speed and functionality. And so it was just, it's just what I wanted to do. I just kind of made a decision to do this.
Cool.
You know, just to do something different. Now, what we really want, SSL has a new surface called the 650, which is kind of a gripe people have had about this one is it has the, like, I don't want to move my it's got, instead of the traditional left bank, master, center bank, right bank, it's got like a bank up top, a bank below, and then a bank. I've gotten used to it, but I would prefer it to be more laid out traditionally width wise.
Yes.
650, if you've seen a press release for that, that's what. So we're literally waiting for those consoles to be made.
Got it.
And they'll meet us. This, we're rehearsing for something, for a Silk Sonic thing coming up in Vegas, which has been announced since we did the last one. I couldn't really talk about it. Now I can. It's a surprise.
It's been announced.
So that's the Bruno Mars. Yep. The Bruno Mars, the Anderson .Paak thing. And once we get to Vegas in about a month, I think like they're saying in the middle of March, it's the same desk. It's the same show file.
It's just the surface layout is different.
The surface. So that being said, I'll be sweating bullets when we change it, just because it's new technology, something different, you know?
Of course.
It's what you're going through. So anyway, so that's the big, or no, that's not the big, but that is one of the major things I'm doing differently this time is using the SSL again on this. And I've been talking shit for several years that I was going to do something different. And I didn't have it in me to really learn a new platform. I know I like this platform. And I was like, you know what? Let's just do SSL. We know SSL.
Cool.
So.
And then let's just take a right-hand turn. But I do want to get back, because I know there's other stuff that you're doing.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to share that with us, but
we can touch on some of it. I've been trying to think of how much, but we'll figure it out.
Okay. But just kind of as a discussion, what I'm finding really interesting as we fire up back here and people are starting to, you know, at least prep for large tours that are happening this summer and whatever, I'm noticing that there is nobody in the higher echelons of touring, like known front of house guys, that are just sitting in their own shit. Mm-hmm. Every single guy is like, I'm going to do something different in some sort of way, and thinking outside of the box to make it better is really the ultimate goal. But it's like everyone that I see, it's either a platform change. Mm-hmm. Like they decide, oh, well, I'm going to go to the Yamaha console, or I'm going to go to this, or it's the craziness of Toby Francis deciding he's going to do some weird analog digital hybrid.
Uh-huh.
But all of it is driven by, we've been sitting around and we don't want to just go out and do what we were doing. We want to make it better, which I find refreshing. You?
Yeah. And you know, our last conversation was, a lot of it was sort of based around people understandably so, like, I don't want to say no judgment, but judgment, but, you know, kind of resting on their laurels of sorts, you know? And then it you know, and I got to be honest, I haven't been paying attention to what everyone else is doing so much as of late. I haven't been as active on my social media rounds as usual. So, you know, now that I think about it, I can think of a few guys I know for sure that are doing different stuff. So that's refreshing to hear. Yeah, that's encouraging, you know?
I think it's, yeah, it's encouraging. It means that people are striving to be better, you know, and you know, in whatever way, like they think they're trying to think outside the box. Like, all right, for instance, here in Iron Maiden, we could have left, like we are literally picking up a tour that started in 2017.
Yeah.
The same set list, same right. songs.
Right.
Like I could have left all my gear alone. Right. Yeah. I could have said,
because you were killing it.
It's functioning and everybody's working. Happy. Everybody's, sure. You know, there's the fans were digging it. You know, I could have said, well, yeah, everything's fine. I just leave it. It's all working, you know, and whatever. Mm-hmm. But in my head, I'm like, you know what? Let's search for the ways to make it better. Mm-hmm. You know, some of those things we are changing the front end. In our deal, we're using those Neve RMP D8 mic pre's. I bought a bunch of those. And I'm not
That's
changing.
That's a gigantic step.
It is, yeah. So the front end of this is, I think, going to improve 100%. And what's interesting about it is we're not changing every input to that. We are still using some Digico blue card inputs, but changing, you know, a lot of the money things, as well as the thought process is to choose percussive inputs, because that's when you really notice a really great analog mic pre, the harmonic distortion that's made from that. So, you know, kick and snare and, you know, those kind of things will be some of the choices that will now go through a Neve mic pre. And so we're changing the front end part of that. And then for me, I'm changing, some of my insert on the master bus to have some analog fun. I'm testing right now one of your favorite devices that you kind of turned the world onto. It was your fault.
It's my fault.
Yeah.
I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah. So I haven't, you know, and that all stemmed from literally from us doing this little side project where you were just showing me, you're like, dude, check this out, see what this thing does. And I was like, Jesus, I need to get that thing. And so that's here and we're going to try to use that. And then we're getting it back into the console. I'm going to do use a different A to D converter. I'm using
That's something I wanted to. Did you get the, what are you using for that?
Yeah, the Neve
bus converter.
Yes. So now the idea is, not only is it going to this analog thing that's making it warmer, but it's getting converted back with a much better converter than what the standard Digico converter is. So I'm anxious to mess with that. Haven't yet. I'm literally, this is all computer work. And then later on this week, I'll get a chance to plug all that in.
You know, if we can for a minute, let's talk about that Rupert Neve piece.
Yeah.
Because that, you know, everything you're doing is, that's exactly what I was thinking. If I wasn't so sure if I was going to change consoles or not. And if I wasn't going to change desk, it was going to be to retrofit the front end with something. And for the better part of last year, maybe I'd say half of the year, Rupert Neve sent me that unit. So I just had one and I used it on what you'd expect. I had it on like the kick channels, the snare channels, the bass channels, and Bruno's overhead, I think is what I had enough. I mean, I'm Bruno's vocal. And I think I may have had it on the overheads too, just to keep it all time wise.
Yep.
And it's not a subtle difference.
No,
yeah. At all. You know, I had it on the alt input of everything, and I would just turn it on and off every night and just be like, oh my God, it's markedly different and markedly better, almost inarguably better.
Yes.
It was my feeling. In fact, as you mentioned, Toby, I sent Toby, just because he's been messing around with that stuff for a few years now. And I sent him a text one night, and I think it said something along the lines of, it would all be but negligent not to use this thing. In other words, after using it, I felt like it would be a disservice to my client that, you know, a client that could afford it to not use it.
Totally.
So, and in doing that, you're not only getting like new preamps, you're getting different, you're getting transformers and you're getting new converters too.
So, yeah. You know? So my philosophy, and, you know, I'll let you know, we'll keep in touch about how this all works out. But my philosophy is change the front end a little bit, change the output a little bit, and striving for a better result. And so
I don't know
what happens.
What's so cool about that, and also safe, it allows you to greatly shape, again, the front end, the back end, and then performance-wise, stay in that same comfortable area.
Yep.
Within, you know what I mean, within the infrastructure of the desk. So, and I'm sure in my future, like I'm doing this now, and I'm super excited about it. I really am. There is zero reality where I don't continue to use Digico. Like if I have a gig tomorrow.
Totally get it.
I'm specking a Digico.
Yeah.
Just totally because I'm fast on it, and et cetera, et cetera. So. To soup it up like you're doing, I think is I get that move. I kind of had that same thing in mind.
Cool.
And then in the middle, have you had a chance yet to, I haven't played with any, I guess the only real thing, didn't really mean to shift gears to waves.
No, go ahead. It's all good.
You mentioned version 13. The only thing on there that's really piqued my interest is their new, speaking of SSL, is their new SSL channel.
It's really interesting.
Have you played with it yet?
I have, very much so.
At home or?
Not here. And that it's funny that you say that because I use SSL channel, the G channel and the E channel on a bunch of stuff here.
Use on everything.
A lot. And I'm about to go see if I change it to the EV2. Is it going to make it better? I don't know. I'm about to find out. And so that'll stay tuned for that too. Because to messing with it at home, and I'm sure you've done the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty damn cool.
I actually haven't.
Oh, you haven't. Oh,
no,
you need to, because it is. So yeah, you've messed with the Chris Ordalgi version, right? Whatever his is called.
Right.
That has a thing that's really cool too. Like, you know, I've said, oh, on some inputs that already have an SSL channel, like I would switch to this, the CLA version of that. Mm-hmm. And the new SSL version that Waves created, I think it's called the EV2, right? Is that what it's called?
I think so. Yeah. I think so.
Sorry if I'm screwing that up.
They know what we're talking about.
Yeah. Anyway,
new one.
That one has a thing too. So for me, there's like, now there's four SSL channels that have their own characteristics that are cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, having that in your toolbox and knowing what each one does well, will serve you greatly, you know?
As far as, you know, the things that they do, I feel like you and I've talked about this offline before. But to me, we've all used it's got to be the most used plugin in their arsenal in live sound, if not the C6, would be the SSL channel.
Exactly.
I mean, I feel like you see that everywhere and for a reason.
100%.
Yep. You know, and what I found was the existing one, which has probably been out for, 15, 20 years now? Maybe not that long.
Sure. Maybe not that long, but yeah.
It's been around for a minute.
It's been around for a while. Yeah.
So there's the existing one, and then the Chris Ordalgi one came out, and I found that one to have what I will call at first a softer high end, almost a more realistic, whereas the older one, like if 5K is not there, it's going to make 5K. It's almost like a synthesizer in that way. Like, and for drums, it's almost like you put it in this thing and it's going to spit out. And so I got to where I really did like the Chrysler Algae one, but then I missed some of that admittedly fake coloration or the stuff that the original one did. And I got to the point where that's all I used. I just went back to the old one. So now I'm curious. I
totally get it. For me, as you're saying that, for me, the Chrysler Algae EQ is more shaping EQ. Like mm-hmm. the Q is wide, super wide and big. So when you grab something, even at its happens. Yes, a lot happens. Yes. So it to me, it's more similar to maybe some Neve products than it is SSL EQ wise. But totally has a different vibe. And that's what I'm talking about. It has a different vibe than those others. And I totally know what you're saying. I've put CLA's version on stuff trying to replace the previous version, uh-huh. you know, the E channel or the G channel, and have right. ended up going back, been like, yeah. That didn't work. Exactly. But I've done the other way too. Like I've, you know, literally like put it on and went, oh, that's better.
Yeah.
So for it just instance, depends, you know.
I know. And I was thinking about the way my Bruno show before I finally put that thing to bed, the Digico Bruno show as it existed, which had been, you know, put together for years. Yeah. When it ended, I had the Chrysler Algae SSL strip on my primary keyboard channel, Keys One, which is right. his main board, yeah. because I didn't want any of that sort of harsh. I wanted
manufactured,
what, yeah. Yeah, I wanted what it did. So it was a better pairing for that. Cool. Whereas on some of my drums that needed as much color as I could get.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm really curious where that one falls.
My initial, now, you know, I mean, it just came out, so I haven't like, it's not like I've spent hours with
yeah.
it. My initial reaction is it's somewhere in the middle of what you're describing.
Yeah.
It's
I figured that's probably what they would write.
But it does some cool things that the other three don't, you know what I mean? Mm. It's like, it's definitely got its own vibe.
Yeah.
Definitely worth checking out.
I had I had coffee today with Sean Sullivan. He's around here rehearsing.
All
right. And we were talking about everything, but we were talking about plugins primarily. And we were talking about, he was talking about the Sony collection or the Sonox, I guess, as it's known yeah. in plugin world. And, you know, we were talking about the fact that, and those are, those are great plugins.
Sure like are.
Really, really great plugins. It, those things are old as shit at this point in the world of plugin architecture. As is, you know, the Renaissance series from Waves. Yet, and it's funny, when you think of modeling or when you think of plugin creation, it's almost like newer is almost always considered better because modeling gets better. The whole process gets better. Yet there's something to those these now multiple decades old designs, you know, for instance, the Renaissance comp and that kind of stuff. That
I'll let you in on a little secret.
Yeah, hit me.
Only because I know some of the back of what's happening to some of these plugins. Mm-hmm. The backbone of some of the latest, greatest plugins are inclusive of old technology plugins. So for instance, you know, the Andrew Shep's Omni channel, mm-hmm. there's some code in there that is like, I don't know borrowed for sure from? That it's Renaissance, but
I got
there's,
you.
There is some code in there that is from that stuff. So mm-hmm. it is, and certainly stuff like, CLA's stuff. There's mm-hmm. stuff behind the scenes there that is not just a modeled SSL strip. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. the reason that it sounds different is that it probably has some code that's related to SSL, but there's also some other stuff thrown in there behind the scenes.
I'm sure.
So if you could see the behind the scenes chain, you might discover that the compressor that's in the, and this is not true, guys, but I'm just trying to give you
an example
For example, you might see in the Sheps Omnichannel that the compressor section is actually an Arvox, a Renaissance Axe,
that'd be
a
great,
whatever, and a whatever. Mm-hmm. Like it's mm-hmm. it's like, you know, four, a combination of four things that already exist
mm-hmm.
that he decided was a model of King. It's not like it was written as brand new code.
Got it.
So just realize that some of these, you know, don't just assume that the latest greatest thing is like the latest greatest thing because they've written new code or, you know, whatever. There is better technology as we get going here. Mm-hmm. But also realize that it's including a lot of older stuff.
Right. Pre-existing stuff. And that older stuff works.
It does. You know what I mean? And that's like why they use it, you know? Yes.
Yeah. I think I've said it on here before. I know I said it on one of the videos that we did for some other stuff that we've done, that to me, like, for example, the Renaissance compressor is kind of the DBX 160X of the plugin world for me. It's like, if I just need a compressor, just put it on stock settings and let it do whatever I want it to do. And it's
totally,
we're good.
Yeah.
You know, we're good.
I mean, like, you know, I've been saying for years, ever since the Renaissance Axe came out, like if you have never used a plugin before, like that's the one that you buy. Go pay $29 or whatever it is now. It's even cheaper than that probably. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, threshold and gain. And what it does is amazing on a lot of things.
Yeah.
So go buy the, you know, it's like the plugin starter kit.
Right.
You know,
right.
Go right. Buy the Renaissance Axe.
You know what's so funny is I've got it's honestly, and of course you and I've spent so much time kind of, which has been great, letting everyone with holding nothing back, letting everyone in on kind of what it is we do, you know? And it's almost like I reserve the right to stick to my guts and still make the same instinctual decisions. But throughout the COVID period, I've really had, as we all have, I've had a lot of time to reflect, and I'm kind of addressing some things mix wise that have always bugged me about me,
cool.
You know, and I'm going about it. What did I wrote something down.
Can you share like an example? Cause that's really interesting.
Yes. In fact, let me see. I wrote down last night in my notes, I put doing a bit of a reboot in terms of mix. Then I put ... philosophy ? And how that correlates into using gear differently.
Interesting.
So that was my thought for you for what could, you know, come up today. And some of what that means, I guess, if you want to know specifics, is just, you know, how you go to the same places with, you know, whether it's drums or vocals or whatever instruments it might be. And you have these places that you take it to that you're really proud of, but then you've got these other things. You're like, damn it. There I go again, you know? Yes. And some of those things, all of them are a function of our own perspective, and we're our own worst enemies. And a lot of times the things that I see as being bothersome, either people don't notice or might even like, but I've noticed for me, one thing I noticed, as much as you and I harp on the importance, particularly in the digital era when there is none, how much we harp on the use of harmonic distortion, because we have to create it now. That's what all this shit is behind me here, is me just trying to dirty everything up.
Totally.
And but I have noticed upon listening that I've gone a little too far at times with that. In other words, it doesn't sound like a full-on rat pedal.
No, I know.
But when I listen, I'm like, everything's just so, I've gone a little too far with it. And what happens when you go too far, when you pass that sweet spot, your mix becomes, and yes, it will be louder by all of the RMS raising and all of the rounding off of transients, but it will also become a little lifeless, a little spongy.
Yeah.
You know, and I've noticed that my stuff is loud, but sometimes it doesn't hit like it used to. And I think it's because I've gone too far. So now I'm not ditching those techniques, but I'm just backing off of them a hair, you know?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, a big one for me is on the stereo bus for years. It's been the same thing. It's been the 2500, which I love as much today as I did when I first started using it more than 15 years ago. But there is something with it where I'm like, you know, there's something on the low end that always, my low end that always sort of bugs me. And I'm like, let's take off the training wheels for a little while. Let's make the stereo bus look different. See if we don't lose that. So I'm even doing like Old Faithful is different now. Like my stereo bus looks different.
Yeah.
So I'm doing a lot of things different. And then a lot of times I'm finding and doing it. I'm a little further down the road than you are since we've actually started rehearsing. So I've got an active mix going. I'm finding some things that I'm like, nope, reverse, go back to what you know.
Go back.
And then I'm finding other things and I'm like, oh no, I do like this a little cleaner. Right. You know what I mean? But something I was going to say, the irony is I have a lot of my normal stuff in the racks behind me, and we'll talk about all of that on a later one. But I've got some new stuff too. Then I've got this new plugin server endeavor that I'm doing that we'll touch on today.
Okay.
But the funny thing is, but the console I'm using, I need less of this stuff than I've ever needed. In other words, I've said this before, I love the EQ on this thing. I love the compressor section. So I'm not as inclined to I have more firepower at my disposal than I've ever had in terms of processing, yet I've never been more inclined to just use the desk. So
totally get it.
Which is a great problem to have.
We've talked about this a lot. It's an interesting philosophy. There are two schools of thought kind of going on with console manufacturers right now. Digico remaining the, hey, we make it as clean as possible. You decide what you want to do with it past that. Mm-hmm. You know, their philosophy is very, you know, everything clean. You want to add stuff to it, then you have to bring that to the table. Mm-hmm. Although, you know, with their newer quantum technology, you know, they have some dirtying processes that are pretty good too, but just in general, that's what Digico's known for. Mm-hmm. Other console manufacturers, you know, have their own philosophies about making the front end. Like to me, an Avid desk is very colored on the front end. Mm-hmm. It has a bunch of harmonic distortion. Mm-hmm. Whether you like that or not, that is a reality. And the SSL desk, at least in my experience, you know, and I haven't used it for a tour or anything, so you know way more about it. But from my experience with just some virtual playback and that kind of stuff, the front end part of it is also a bit more colored, in an SSL kind of a way. And then it seems like, at least from my aspect, when you add an EQ or a compressor in Digico land, it still remains clean. Like their idea of a compressor and an EQ is to not add any harmonic distortion. Whereas I think in SSL, when you add an EQ and compressor, it gets even more harmonic distortion a little bit.
Not
over the top, but it has a coloration, let's call it.
Absolutely.
So I think they're different philosophies. I think you probably have been used to being, hey, this is super clean and I got to bring my toolbox to dirty it up. And you've all of a sudden you're in a situation now where, you know, hey, the console already does that.
Yeah.
I mean, tell me if I'm wrong. That's my own thought.
No, you are 100% right. And I had this same experience with this desk in the past when I used it on another tour. And it's but again, it's like a problem I welcome.
Yes.
You know, this thing sounds really good and is colored in a fun way. Oh gosh darn. But I tell you what is funny is if you were to come to one of my shows, you're still gonna see this giant, that's half of it. I mean, there's stuff missing. I haven't even filled it all in. There's something that's really going to tie the room together.
And
I'll show it off.
But the rug tied the room together.
Absolutely. Tied the room together. You see this rack, half of what's in there is on now.
Right.
Back in the day when I used to carry all this stuff, I felt almost inclined if I had it to use it. Now I come from this place of like, it's just a bunch of options. It's the same thing as having 10 million plugins and using 4 all the time.
Totally. Yeah.
You know,
I totally get it.
So yeah, there's a lot going on back there, but it's like, again, half of it's turned off.
Yeah.
And at some point I will turn that other half back on and blah, 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 and chase my tail and have some fun with it, you know? So,
You touched on something a little bit there, and I don't know how much more you're willing to talk about it, but you said you were talking about some sort of server plugin adventure. What's happening there?
It is an adventure for sure. That is, this is an endeavor with my friend CJ Stemple, who is, he's the designer, he's the brains, he's been at this a lot longer than I have, but I've been talking for what now has been several years openly about wanting to use natively processed plugins live. Talked about it here on the show, talked about it at the top of COVID, talked about it just, I've talked about it so much and I've been researching it for so long that I couldn't, this is what we're doing here now with the Silk Sonic stuff. This is the first, and it's not even a tour, it's a residency. It's the first thing that I've built from the ground up in years now, you know? And if I were to do this and not try this thing I've been talking about for a while, I would officially be scared and full of shit. So while I'm not wholly ready to dive into this, it's put up or shut up time. And with that, I've spent the better part of the past couple years more or less talking to / interviewing people much braver than myself that have already made this jump.
Right.
Into whether you're using a DAW to host the plugins or a standalone host software,
yep,
like Live Professor, which is the one that we're using here. And that's the one that I had been most interested in when I spoke to CJ. CJ was already using Live Professor, but what CJ has done, he's done all the stuff that there's just no way in hell I ever would have done. He's done his homework on the components throughout, because as you know, the name of the game is stability and time management, latency. So I don't feel, he doesn't feel, this is still very much a work in progress. And so, you know, of course I can only say so much, but the nitty gritty of this is we're using currently as our host software, we're using Live Professor to run VST plugins. So I've got my Fab Filter, my Plugin Alliance, Sound Toys, et cetera, et cetera. But the unique thing about it is the, what I'll call the proprietary computer build. He has souped up this computer design to run this. That being said, it's a work in progress, you know? So that's it. It's something that anyone could do, but CJ has really done the homework, and there's some other people that have, you know, are helping behind the scenes too, but he's really gotten it to a point to where I'm at least comfortable now to bring it out and give it a shot. So yeah. That's where we are with it, but it's cool. Super, super, super exciting. We were talking about the SSL flavors. It's so crazy. I've got this thing running all the stuff I mentioned. Waves is also within it. You know, I'm still using Waves within itself, but then I've got this actual SSL desk, which no, it's not an E-series or a G-series console. So I still want the coloration of the plugins, but now I have like 9 million flavor of SSL to choose from, which is cool. So
that is cool.
So that's what's happening with that.
Was this driven by you saying, like, you know, all right, so traditionally, let's step back a little bit, because, you know, the way that this all went down was Waves, you know, people were saying for a while there, hey, why can't we use plugins in live sound? And then it was always a latency problem, right? Mm-hmm. It was always like, oh boy, you know, we're talking about major long latency times. Mm-hmm. And so Waves was like, all right, we're going to solve that by building our own network, et cetera, which then launched the whole Waves, you know, SoundGrid phenomena that's now SuperRack. Mm-hmm. And based upon the fact that it was a super, super fast network with low, low latency, mm-hmm. Stuff. So, but what they did is kind of alienated every other plugin manufacturer in the sense of us live guys are like, well, yeah, this is great. It's functions and I can use every Waves plugin and they have 140 plugins. So, mm-hmm. you know, man, this is going to be awesome. But you and I have both talked about how, boy, there are some other plugin manufacturers that make some amazing stuff. that we're kind of bummed. Like we, when we build a work on a record at home, we're like, yeah, I'm, you know, using this and this and this, the Sonics and the, you know, whatever. So was this driven by that for you? Were you like, I want to be able to use other plugins? Is that the thing?
Yes.
Okay.
And you know, Waves, first of all, you know, they, as live sound engineers, and hey man, we've all been through our Waves crashed on me moments. Like it's happened. You know what I mean? Everybody has their, everybody has their stories.
Everyone has a macro written on a Digico console to disable all their Waves inserts. Yes.
Absolutely. That being said, I don't have enough words to express gratitude towards Waves for at least they've jumped in this boat with us. They're the only ones that have given us the entire full light of their attention and have from the beginning, you know? And so, and what they've done, what you mentioned and what, and that's what we're trying to do is work with the product, forget Waves, what the Wave, the, and they have a bazillion, what the Waves plugins are, the way, just simply how fast SoundGrid and the whole thing, the latency, that's why it's not just that they make great stuff, great products. They, you can just get in and out of it at blistering speeds. But I'll be honest with you, we haven't matched yet. We're not there, you know, and it's going to take a while to get there. So they've set the mark. And don't get me wrong, there are two Wave servers sitting right here. Like that's what I, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get it.
That's what I'm counting on just because it's a vetted platform, you know, whereas this is kind of a new frontier. So, but yes, it springs from that, you know, UA was, they were in the game with us for a minute and then they weren't. And then you can still use UA stuff, but you kind of got to jump through some hoops. But today, the only person that's been like, hey, we're your ride or die is Waves.
Sure.
And that's awesome. But for me, I do, I just want to be able to use whatever's out there, if I can get away with it. Some of the whatever's out there that's applicable, useful in a studio setting, or we'll just say a non-live setting, is simply not, it's not a tenable act here because the latency of the plugin might be too great. And we're finding that. I'm finding stuff that I was hoping I could use that it's just not going to work out.
It's not going to work. Yeah.
Right. But yeah, that's where it came from. It's just been years of me just wanting to use whatever I want to use, you know. Well,
good for you. I mean, it's, you know, if you and I think live guys, if they don't spend the time on DAW things, they may not know how good there's some other stuff out there, you know.
Yes.
I mean, geez, you know, I mean, whatever, from Isotope to who's some other like amazing ones that,
well, I was going to say to the little $29 thing that some guy makes in his basement that you don't even know of.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
And what's funny is, you know, offline we talk, you and I talk about, hey, what's the latest, you know, the latest thing that you're using outside of the whole live parameters, because we aren't able to use it here, but we still have discussions about like, what is the latest coolest thing? Like, what's that reverb stuff we've been talking about that's so
killing? The Valhalla?
Yes, dude, the Valhalla.
Yeah, I've got all of that here.
That stuff is killing it.
Yeah,
and we can't use it. I'm like, I want to use that.
I know, and it's working out great for me here because specifically on the Silk Sonic stuff, like that's exactly what they used on the record, you know? So it's what the artist is also familiar with. Like he knows that sound. He knows the Valhalla vintage verb. He knows that sound. So
yeah, and sound toys, right? I mean, you know, there's all of it. So
there's stuff.
That's exciting. I mean, if you're your guy and you are able to figure out some way to get all that and function in our world, then have at it, man. That's amazing.
Yeah. And I was telling Sean today, you know, I want this because I want to be able to use it, but I want you to be able to use it. And I want all of us to be able, because, oh my God, you're talking about upping the ante of the game as a whole.
For real.
You know, all that being said, I really need to stress it's a work in progress. Totally. Yes, I'm clearly excited about it. We're a ways away. I don't have anything to sell you or to rent to you. Don't blow me up. Just don't let me, let us, we're working
on it. Stay out of my DMs.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And you can do all this stuff too. I just happen to feel that I have found the right team to really progress this.
Totally. So. And I'm sure you are doing things differently than what some others have done, but let's just be clear. This isn't something that's super new.
No,
I mean, 5 years ago, I was watching, I was using like an RME card to go in and out of Main Stage.
Absolutely.
Main Stage was hosting some VST plugins. I was going in and out of it. That's just my little venture into it. I've been to shows, you know, Toby was trying to go through Pro Tools 8 years ago. You know what I mean? So this is something that people have been, you know, been trying for a while. And the real deal is that I think that hardware is finally catching up enough to where we have fast enough DSP that we're going to be able to do this kind of stuff. Yeah. Whereas 5 years ago, not a chance.
Yeah. And if you were doing this 5 years ago, 8 years ago, whatever it might be, you were even braver.
For real.
You know, so
in fact, I was at a show watching Toby Francis mix ZZ Top. And he had every channel like going through a Pro Tools rig on the side. I love it.
Well, he's as fearless as it gets.
He's fearless as it gets. Yeah. And watched it crash.
Absolutely.
And watched it be just a crash and burn nightmare of like 3 minutes in the middle of the show. But he got it all back working again and just continued on. And it's like, man, you got bigger balls than I do, man. Good for you.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, it's fun, man. I'm super excited about it. We'll see where it goes. And I don't know. I mean, I will say this. It is exciting and it's fine for me. Like, well, looking around and seeing so much different stuff is a little daunting, but it is fun. And I have no choice but to be on my toes now to, you know what I mean? So anyway,
cool. Any other fun stuff you've been looking at doing? Anything else you want to share that's
not at least exciting? As far as what's going on in this room, I'll wait and we'll do like a deeper dive. It has to be something like, we're not changing vocal mics four times a day, you know, but a kick two is often something you can do, or a snare bottom changing. Yeah. We have right now currently on Anderson, we have the same way we did it through promo, where we just have like a mono overhead, very much so for a reason.
Yeah.
So like that'll change, or we'll do, it's just communication.
Cool.
You know, it's, I would never do anything without saying, hey man, I'm thinking about doing this.
Yeah. How do you feel?
Feel? Is that going to screw you? Is today the day to do it?
That's great. Good for you. And that's the way you should be.
Yeah.
Well, as we wrap this up, because we've come to the end here, I just wanted to share, since we've been talking about microphones, I just want to share a little more hatred for Behringer and Uli, because Behringer has released a line of microphones that are vintage microphones. They look like a U47. But it's a USB version of the U47. Uh-huh. And marketing them as, this sounds like a U47, but through a USB cable.
Yeah, just trust us. Just believe that.
And what's crazy about it to me is the casings that they're making are not like identical to scale. Like, it looks like a U47, but it looks like a shrinked mini version of a U47.
Like the image was shrunk or something.
Yeah. And so I just laughed. It made me laugh because I'm like, are you really trying to market this as if like you can get that U47 sound with the USB cable plugged into it? I was like, oh man. It's the not the case. It's the internal part of a U47.
But he is and has been laughing all the way to the bank for
good for him. I know. I'm not mad at him, you know, and this is not a slander. I just thought it was funny. As a professional audio person, I looked at that and went,
Yeah.
Hilarious. And just as another little side note, if you want to look at something hilarious, go watch Dave Ratt dismantle an M32 and an X32 and compare them. So the Midas version versus the Behringer. He rips them apart and shows you the internal parts of all of it. It's on YouTube. Go search Dave Ratt. His channel's funny.
Interesting.
So,
hey, well, yeah. Before we split, you know, this is kind of a tease because we've started getting a mix together. We're in the baby steps of putting this thing together. Like, I'm a long way away from, we're a long way away.
yeah.
You are literally updating computers right now. At some point you will move to playback while you're there, inevitably. Correct.
Yes.
But you really, and we're going to have something to talk about once hopefully we can do this in like another week or so, and you'll have some new revelation that you've discovered, guaranteed. I know you will. But we really won't know the full scope of how much things have changed on your end until those preamps.
It's going to be May.
Yeah, it's going to be May before
check
you
back,
really
check know. Back with me in May. Yeah.
Right. And I can't wait to find out. Because I have a very good feeling how this is going to play out, but I have a feeling it's going to be, holy shit, I knew there was going to be a difference.
Yeah.
But let me tell you the extent, you know.
I hope that's the case for the money that I spent.
I hear you. Hey, all this stuff I'm doing, all this, like, which is great, where there's no show and there's no, it's all good today.
Yeah,
when
right.
It matters. I pray this was all worth it, you know, because I was fine. I was totally fine.
That is, if you learn nothing from today's talk between you and me, is that, like I said, there's a lot of people doing what we're doing right now, which is, yeah, we were fine, but now let's screw it all up.
Exactly. And
the hopes of making it better, right? Absolutely. Like, the whole idea is to make it better.
Yeah, so. And fully aware of the horror stories that exist of such and such engineer that tanked himself by overextending. It's like it's finding how comfortable are you with being brave? You know what I mean?
That's totally
true.
Or
how dumb are you?
How dumb are you? Yeah. But you know, I mean, listen, we are blessed in the sense of we get this time, right? Like, I'm getting a week of coming up here and prepping this. You're getting a long rehearsal period before your shows. And those are the times that you should work outside of the box and make yourself feel uncomfortable. You know, if we were going straight into a show tomorrow, there's no way I would be doing any of this. Like,
literally,
I would be like,
none of this behind me would be happening.
It all works and we're using it. You know what I mean? It's like, this is, I'm going to break it and then I'm going to spend a week fixing it.
Yep.
And then hopefully at the end of that week, it's all working solidly.
Totally. Totally. All right. Well, hopefully, how long are you up there for? I should know this.
I'm here for 10 days.
You're there for 10 days. I'm here for like 10 years. so we'll do this next week if we get the opportunity.
I would love to, man.
Yeah. Cool. Right on.
All right, dude. Great talking to you as always. Boy, that was a lot of stuff, guys. I hope you got something out of it. And thanks for tuning in. And, you know, like we've been saying in the past couple of these, we'll try to do these when we can, but, you know, obviously we're out doing stuff. So we're trying to subscribe to, hey, we're going to keep doing this, but it may not be every week, but we'll get this to you as much as we can.
So. Absolutely.
All right, guys, take care. Stay fun out there. And make stuff sound good, please.
Right on.
Here's what I want. I want my opening act to challenge me so much that I go, oh, holy crap, I better get my crap together here.
Right.
That's what I want. And so come on, guys, let's do it. Let's make shows sound, let's make shows great again.
Let's do it. I love it.
That's awesome. All right, man. Cool. Take care. See ya.
All right. See you, everybody.